God is good to us, amen? Amen. I want to do something this morning. We've got a couple of more things to do, but as I sat down to get ready for today and to talk about things, I was planning on just talking just for just a minute. How many of you know that was really hard for me, y'all? So the minute kind of went a little bit further, but this is what I want to do. I want you, if you have notes this morning, man, take a look at them. We get to celebrate Easter today. And when you look at Easter, people have different ideas and thought processes as to why and when and how. But it's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he's no longer in the grave. And we want to know why. Why? What happened? What did it do? And first thing in your notes is that our sin separates us from God. I was listening this morning to a service, and they were talking about how the first sin separated us from God. And in the Old Testament, there was a temple that they had to come to be able to see God. God's presence was in the Holy of Holies, is what they called it, and it was separated by a curtain that was 30 feet wide and 30 feet high, and some differ on how wide it was. Some say it was over an inch thick. Some say it was over 6 inches thick. Some say it's 6 feet thick. There's been a lot of difference on that. I do know this, that it was thick. It took 300 priests to put it into place when they hung it, is how big it was. But that's what separated God. Isaiah 59 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." There was a barrier. There was a separation. And God didn't intend for us to be separated from him. It happened in the garden. And so what did he do? The second thing in your notes is that he made a way. God made a way. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners, Christ, as portrayed this morning, took stripes for us, was beaten and abused for us, was crucified and died for us. But then on the third day rose again because God made a way. And the scripture tells us that Christ is that way. Amen? Some people ask, "A way to what?" Or what does that even mean? See, because this is the thing. It wasn't Jesus' torn flesh that ended our separation from God. But it was his sinless life, his death, and then the resurrection. I mean, millions of people died on a cross. Jesus wasn't the only person to die on a cross. Millions did. He was the only one who was resurrected for our sins. And in doing that, the scripture tells us that we now have confidence to enter the holy places. The scripture tells us that the curtain that I talked about was ripped from the top to the bottom. A lot of people read through that when he said it is finished and the earth shook and it ripped from the top to the bottom and okay, a curtain ripped. Okay, that's great. But what that was, again, it separated us from God. And why does it matter if it's ripped from the top to the bottom? I looked at Aaron, I'm going to start crying, y'all. It's because God is the one that tore it. God is the one that said, now we can have access. Now we can have relationship. What Christ did on the cross, it gave us access to the Father. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me." Except through me. There's a lot of people who claim to know God. There's a lot of gods that are through many different religions. And the one thing about our God is that he made a way that we could have access back to him. Our scripture tells us over and over and over that he loves us, that he wants to have fellowship with us, that he wants to be a part of our lives and us to be a part of his and what he's doing. Jesus tells us there's only one way to get to him, and that's through what I've done for you. We get to celebrate that today. Amen? Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brothers, Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. That he opened it up so that we could have access, so that we could see him, so that we could come. How many of you have ever had your kids come and just sit on your lap and just look up at you, talk to you about something, anything? What is your response? Whatever you want. You're going to have it all, right? Most of us. How it is with my little ones, right? Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I've got this. Daddy, this is happening. We have the ability, because of what Christ has done, to do that with our Heavenly Father. We're able to come and to get into his presence. The second thing that we have access to because of what he's done is we have access to the Holy Spirit to be a part of our lives. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." He not only made a way that we could have access, but he made a way that we could live a life that he created us to by his Spirit. By walking in his Spirit, by listening to him, by having self-control, right? By having peace and love and being able to share with others, having a power to be able to speak what God has given to us and what he's done for us. The next thing that we have, and then I'm going to stop for a minute. We're going to take communion in a second. But the next thing that he does, and the last thing, is that we have access to eternal life. We have access to be with our Father forever. Forever. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through him." He didn't send his Son so he could point at y'all and say, "Y'all aren't right." He sent his Son so that we could have forgiveness. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning. You need forgiveness in your life. God has paid for it. Because of the resurrection of his Son, we have a free gift that we can't earn, we can't buy it, we can't just get it for a little while. It's a free gift that gives us access to our Father. This morning, you might say, "Man, I've never taken advantage of that, or I've heard about it, but it's never cared or mattered to me before." Today, you say, "Man, I want that." Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. You be honest and say, "I need his forgiveness in my life. I need that gift that he's given to me." Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want you guys to repeat after me. It's not this prayer that does it, but the scripture says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we will be saved. Repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your Son so that I could have access, so that I could be part of the family. I could have forgiveness. I could have freedom. And I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. Live the life that you created me for. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today we're going to do something. We're going to take communion. And what I want to do is, I'm going to explain it a little bit while they're passing it out in a minute. If those who are going to be passing them out would come. I don't see them. There they are. There they are. Sorry. I found them. Parents, if you would like for your kids to come and take part of it with you, that's great. If you would like for them to just take part of it where they're at, that's okay too. Whatever you prefer. Thank you.
No, just kidding. There's some more in there. Come on.
The scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he broke bread. He talked to the disciples about the new covenant. He took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant." Paul tells us in the scripture that we are to examine ourselves before we take communion, before we come into God's presence. And what I want to do is, they're passing it out. Aaron's going to play. And I want you just to think about your life and ask yourself this question. Is the life that I live right now worthy of the sacrifice that Christ made for me? Or are there some things that I need to change? Is there some stuff that I need to work on? Is there some things that I'm holding back that I need to give to him? Because right now we're going to celebrate what he did for us. That by his stripes we were healed, that by the blood we were covered. We can have forgiveness. As Aaron sings, would you just reflect on your life? Examine yourself.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. As long as life. how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given it thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The scripture tells us that by his stripes we were healed. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that I can go to him for healing.
Amen.
I'm sure glad that I can have freedom from sickness in my mind, in my body, in every aspect of my life. And as we take this bread and eat it, we're going to remember that and be thankful for it. I don't know about you, I'm going to be thankful for it. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we take this bread, God, I ask, let our hearts actually understand what it means, Father. The freedoms that we have, what your word says, the promises that are in there that are for us because of what Christ endured. As we eat this bread, we accept it, Father God, and we remember that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, would you take the bread? In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, for as often in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I'm so glad that my sins are forgiven, y'all. So glad that he washes my issues away, my past away, and allows me to have a new, fresh start, a new life in him. Freedom from it. Dear Heavenly Father, as we take this cup and we drink it, Father God, let us remember that we have freedom in you. Let's not take advantage of it, Father God, or use it, or take it lightly, Father. But let us understand how precious this gift is that you gave to us. Help us live a life worthy of it, Father God. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We accept it now, in Jesus' name. Would you take the cup? Today is a good day.
Amen.
Amen. We get to celebrate that we have a risen Savior, that we are free. And the scripture says that he, the Son, sets free is
free indeed.
Free indeed. Free indeed. We have the freedom to speak our mind. We have the freedom to tell everybody how good our God is to us. And I don't know about you, I'm about ready to set these kids loose on some Easter eggs out front. Are you guys ready? Okay. Hold on. Sit down. Not yet. Not yet. Hold on. They're like, go. No, not yet. Not yet. Listen, I want you guys to do something today. All right. I know some of you guys are going to hang out with family, or you're going to go out to eat, or you're going to do different things. Find someone today to share the love of God with. Not the condemnation, not the you have to be this or you have to be that or you're not good enough, because none of us are good enough. Amen?
Amen.
But let's just love on people and allow our actions to speak louder than any words that could come out of our mouths. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go out and enjoy the gifts that God's given us in our children, in other people's children, in the fact that we give them candy and then send them home. It's going to be good times. Amen? So this is what we're going to do. We have a couple of different spots outside set up. We have one right out here for the 0 to 2-year-olds. We have one spot right here for the 3 to 5-year-olds. And then we have a spot by the trees for 6 to 12. All right? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to start the younger ones first. Then we're going to wait about 3 or 4 minutes, and then we're going to start the second round, and then we're going to start the third round. The reason why we do that, because some of us have multiple kids in different age brackets, and we want to be able to see all of them and enjoy all of them, and how much joy is in their faces just because of something fun. Amen? Let's pray, and then we'll get ready to go. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd see our hearts this morning, see that we love you, see that we're thankful. We thank you for your son who came, who died, and who you rose again to sit on the right hand of you and intercede, to pray for us, to help us, your spirit to guide us, Father God. I ask that you'd allow us to take advantage of that, to see it, Father God, to use that in our life instead of trying to do things on our own. Let us look to you for love, grace, and mercy. And let us give that to others, Father God. We love you. Help us celebrate correctly today. In Jesus' name, amen.